Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join.
Tenants not changing their air filters? Costly HVAC repairs and unhappy owners got you down? Filter Easy is a subscription air filter delivery service that solves this problem by shipping filters directly to the tenant's front door when it's time to change. Tenants actually change them, which reduces HVAC-related maintenance calls by an average of 30%. Filter Easy's no-cost-you solution functions as a profit center to give you back time and money. Call 1-800-308-1186 today to learn more.
Are you tired of chasing tenants to comply with having renter's insurance? Insurance Management Group can solve this problem with a master tenant's insurance policy. Keep tenants in compliance with your lease agreement and help protect all parties involved. A master tenant's insurance policy can also add an additional revenue stream to your business. Contact Derek Scott at 918-728-8992 or visit imgadvisors.com. To learn more, listen to the Property Management Mastermind Show podcast, episode number 36.
Hey everybody, got a great episode going on today. I've got Don Ganguly from Investment through Home Union on the show today. So go to investmentroi.com to check it out while you're listening. Don and I speak a lot about working with investors, his platform called Investment, and his support through NARPM. So definitely one of those key new vendors that you want to check out and take a listen. And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I'm your host, Brad Larson, and today's guest, I have Don Ganguly. He is with Investment through Home Union. And so to kind of preface this episode, we're using this product right now here in San Antonio with RentWorks. Find it to be very fascinating. I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth here, and it's one more arrow in a large quiver of arrows that property management owners and companies should consider. So without further ado, Don, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
So quick intro, give us kind of a who you are, what you do, with the Investment through Home Union. So kind of give us some background and then talk us about you.
Yeah, so I'm a vocationally reformed engineer and a serial entrepreneur. So maybe I should give a little background of how we came to Investment. My last company, it was called Equinox. We were doing a lot of outsourced work for mortgage services and mortgage banks. So we were processing loans, and when everything went sideways, we were processing servicing. So we were actually helping homeowners with their loans, getting out of tough, difficult situations. And at that point, we saw all these homes all over the country that were, you know, sort of foreclosed, distressed. And we found that there were really good rent price ratios in parts of the country that people on the coast really didn't have visibility to. So it got us thinking that this is a great asset class without a lot of access for people to find out, because the only way for anybody to actually invest was to go to a realtor, roam around a neighborhood, get some data, go to Zillow, do some back of the envelope, figure out what the rent is, call a property manager. But five or six dots that they had to connect before they could actually invest in a rental home. So the whole thesis for us was that, could we create a platform that allowed investors to invest in rental properties like they bought stocks and bonds, which means could we give them a risk and sort of a reward calibration so they could put in their financial preferences at a listing site and use that to actually select properties based on a set of financial parameters. So the Investment platform, that was sort of the genesis of Home Union, which really built that investment platform to use it internally. And we built it on the back of big data. We took 110 million properties, 20 years of transactions, 200,000 neighborhoods. We collect over 9 to 10 million rentals. And we put all of this together and sort of created a little broth of big data analysis and built a platform that investors could put in their risk, you know, how much they wanted to invest, you know, whether they wanted to put cash, use an IRA, use financing, and have the system serve up properties like you would serve up bonds and stocks. So think of yourself going to a Fidelity or a Morgan Stanley, and they don't give you a list of stocks to say, I've got these 20 stocks, which one do you want to buy? They ask you your financial goals, and then they build you a portfolio. So investment is designed with exactly the same thesis in mind.
Great stuff. Love that, because what I was going to comment on is, in the past, people would be buying investment properties because they like the neighborhood, you know, air quote, or they like the schools. Or I've even heard people say, well, I like this property because I like the way it looks from the front of the home, curb appeal. And that takes nothing into account of the deep down numbers that you have been able to help us illustrate. I mean, you're gonna throw out some metrics there that help us determine if it's a real, actual, viable, good investment property for our market. And so I want you to go through some of those just for fun, just on this little tangent right now. Like, what are some of the metrics that people are looking at? Are they cap rates? So talk me through some of that.
Yeah. So, you know, the most important thing in a rental is the rent. So, you know, the cap rate comes out of the rent and you need the expenses. So the two sides of it is, you got to first model the income. So you got to figure out if the rent is the rent. And there is a moment of truth in the rent, which is when the property manager actually rents that property. And if that moment of truth is far different from what the projections are, nothing like that to get an investor sideways at that point. So we have actually a very, very deep rental algorithm. So we model every home in the U.S. and we built a rental AVM, which is, you know, an automated valuation model. And it takes into account a number of different things. It takes into account what the rents have been over the past 20 years, what the comps are, what we've been collecting lately. And rents are difficult to get. So we collect off the MLS. We also have an initiative with the University of California here where they collect rentals across the country for us. So it's a combination of both of those, and we feed that into the model. Now, once we do that, then we go, so we have a property and we say, okay, what do we think the model saying our rent is? So if the rent, our model saying it's $1,100, then the next thing we do is we go look at comps. It's actually a waterfall. And we say, are the comps close to that or are they not? Because properties can be very different. Two homes next to each other can be different based on certain things that have happened in it. It's very, very hyper-local. So then we look at the comps, and then if the comps are not quite there in the local area, we go a little further. If they're not there further, we go a little back in time. And then we look at some of the other popular websites. So there's a bunch of ways we triangulate that rent and figure out what it should be before we put it up on the platform. Then the last bit of this is that when investors come and they talk about the rent, one thing we tell them, let's say it's a RentWorks client that we're talking to, we will tell them that, look, this is what our best estimate of rent is, but your moment of truth is going to be when that RentWorks expert actually walks at home and tells you if there is a reason for this rent to be any different than what it is. So really important point over here is that, you know, you not only model it, but you leave some room for this hyper-local piece. So that's one piece. Another interesting trivia are taxes. In lots of counties, and you know this in Texas, there are counties where owner-occupied taxes vary quite a bit from non-owner-occupied taxes. So if you're going to rent a property and you're modeling it with owner-occupied taxes, you're going to be off because the non-owner-occupied ones are often bigger. So what we've done is we've built a national tax table where we simulate this in areas and we collect this in other areas so that we can be more accurate as to what that is. We have an insurance table so we can model the insurance. These are all expenses that if you're $100 off here, $50 off here, pretty soon the difference is between, is this property going to cash flow for me or is it not going to cash flow for me? So a lot of these people sort of, you know, put it up there and eyeball it and sort of do a test in the air, but we are very, very scientific about things like this. So those are some of the things we do. The other interesting thing we do is we actually have modeled every neighborhood in the U.S. from A through D. And we don't operate in D neighborhoods. So think of it this way. Think of a C neighborhood as a C bond, right? It's a little bit volatile. It's riskier. You get high yield, and it's a lower denomination asset. When you go to an A neighborhood, you're looking at a higher quantum of investment. So in LA, Beverly Hills would be an A neighborhood. But how many people can afford Beverly Hills, right? So it's a high quantum, low income, because your rent-to-price ratios are going to be pretty low. And you're going to see, hopefully, good growth if the thing continues to grow. So it's the analogy I use is, hey, do you want to buy Apple stock for $800 for, you know, one unit, or do you want to buy a bunch of other stocks that are lower price and gets you more of the same? So the A neighborhoods tend to be higher price, lower yield, more growth, and the C neighborhoods tend to be lower price, higher yield, a little more volatile. But what's more important, it makes investors think in terms of portfolios. You can go to somebody and say, look, if you're going to buy real estate over the next 20 years and you're going to go to this, you know, state of financial nirvana by living off rentals by the time you retire, think of the type of properties you want to build the same way that you build your stock and bond portfolio. So when Fidelity asks you, saying, hey, what's your risk level, Brad? And you say, I'm kind of middle of the road, but I like to take a little bit of risk. What they might do is they might include some emerging market stocks. They might include a few risky things combined with a bunch of stable big cap items. So the idea here is same thing with real estate, but if you bought some risky stuff, maybe you buy now some more stable stuff, and then you buy something in between, and over time you build a portfolio. So but this is one of the things we've done.
So one of the things I want to talk about there, or at least have you talk about it, is you mentioned taxes. And so do you have a factor in there to illustrate depreciation? Because depreciation, in my opinion, has been kind of like the magic tooth fairy above all of investments that we look at for homes. Now it's there, it's a giant, but it's very tough to potentially quantify when you're looking at some sort of program to show you the actual value of a property, to what it cash flows and how it ties into the cap rate, et cetera. So tax benefits is something that is a little bit more elusive. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, you know, it is absolutely a huge point, because when you look at earning 8% in the stock market and 8% in rentals, the rental income after tax actually ends up being a lot better. Unfortunately, in this day and age, you really can't comment on taxes unless you're a tax advisor. The moment we put something out there, 50 people will come after us saying, you know, you're not a CPA, you're not a tax advisor. And our lawyers tell us to stay far away from, you know, tax advice. So we don't do anything on an after-tax basis. But one thing we do is tell people that they should be talking to their CPA or accountant, because the returns after taxes are much better than what they would see in their other investments.
And I would think that's a fair answer, because you don't really know exactly what the tax position is for any of the clients that you're talking with. Everyone's going to have a different tax position, but depreciation is something that is overlooked or forgotten, or even not taken into account for certain folks, because they have such a high wealth that depreciation no longer counts for them. But it's for the average investor, it's something that it's almost like a bonus. Oh, by the way, these are the solid numbers you're looking at. Here's the cap rate. Here's the rent. Here's the insurance. Here's the principal interest, et cetera. By the way, here's your giant depreciation, which is often going to come from their tax advisor. And so your bottom line that you thought you had is actually way better because of depreciation as a huge kicker. So I get from your position, you can't really comment on that. And I think that's fair. But I don't want to let that go as far as don't forget that, everybody. So talk through the invoice. You know, you got the income, you got the rental history, all that good stuff. So you're putting out basically a report, some sort of analysis. Talk us through kind of how you're guiding investors to make purchases.
Yeah, so, you know, it's we've really taken our playbook as the stock market wealth building portfolio, because that's what investors are used to. We didn't feel like we needed to create something different from real estate. So as long as I can take a piece of property and I can put some risk and reward profile around it, I can model it to what an investor preference is, right? So the question we ask investors when they come in is, look, how much do you have to invest today on the site? And if you go to the site, you'll see one of those things. Are you going to put in cash or are you going to finance? Now, almost everybody wants to finance because the leverage is, the interest rates are so low that you can almost juice it up quite a bit to, you know, 5:1, 3:1, depending on where you are with your money. Because if your interest rate's 4% and the yield on the property is 6%, there's a 2% arbitrage that you're taking and putting only 20% down. So that juices up the piece quite a bit. Then, you know, some people want to invest out of their IRA. So we even have properties that are tagged for IRAs because we know the, you know, some of the rules and regulations that the IRA companies apply on which property they'll fund as an IRA loan and which property they won't. So we have people buying other IRA. Some people are buying cash. So what's the first question we ask? The second question we ask is, okay, the first one was how much you want to invest and how do you want to invest? The third one, what's your risk profile? You want to be in A neighborhood, B, C, D, you know, we don't have Ds, A, B, C. Look at it on the website, decide. And the fourth one is location. You want to be in San Antonio. If your customer's in San Antonio, they look at San Antonio. If you're a lot of the investors are on the coasts, right? The money is on the coast. I mean, there's just a report released. Go ahead.
So what I wanted to ask you there is you touched on the markets. So go down that road and talk to us of kind of where you are at and which markets. And you might be nationwide, you might be just in specific markets, you might be just in certain areas. So talk us through where, and then caveat that as go into how a property management company could be involved in that system in each particular market.
Yeah. So fair question. That's where I was going. And if you look at the country, there's a report that just came out saying which are the richest locations. And they are in Scarborough, New York, Los Altos Hills, Palo Alto. I mean, they're really around the coasts. So the money lives a lot along the coast, and the affordable properties sort of live in the middle and the south, right? So investors who've already bought a $1 million home in LA or Northern California, when they want to make another investment, first of all, they're already in that economy, right? They've already made an investment in that economy in the house they live in. And if they buy another home in that economy, the chances are they're again speculating on growth because there's not going to be much income there. Properties are so expensive. So the quandary, the problem they have is they don't have access to the rest of the country. So they can say, I want to buy a home in San Antonio. I want to buy in Austin. A lot of people, for example, like these locations. San Antonio is close to Austin. Austin is the next tech hub. Charlotte's another great tech hub. They know that this could become the next Bay Area, but they don't know how to get in. Somebody might know a realtor, their cousin might live there, but there's no institutional way for these guys to get into those markets. So what we are trying to do is provide details around these markets the same way that I described to you now, so they can select properties in San Antonio. But the platform is only, you know, one part of the equation because real estate is still hyperlocal. Let's say I like San Antonio, and I find three properties in San Antonio. Now I need someone to go do the due diligence in that market. And that's where someone like RentWorks or somebody in another market might come in. Because the idea is then the investor has a buy box. So our goal with InvestMed is to create a buy box. I'm going to spend $200,000. I want to buy two properties. Here are my preferences. This is my school district. This is my neighborhood. Here's how I'm going to buy. And we all know that the three properties maybe they look at may not be the three they end up buying because they may not be available. When you go and do a deep dive, they may be all trashed up. So this platform is a combination of the data and the local partner. And this is why we're rolling out to property managers and realtors because they solve that last mile problem that the investor needs. But they're not jumping around everywhere. We've given them a very narrow buy box. So answer your question about locations. So the locations that we're in, we feel are the ones that have a good number of properties in a certain price zone with good rent-to-price ratios and a good set of neighborhoods that investors can invest in. So Texas, most of Texas actually fits that, and the Texas thesis everybody likes. It's a growth state. It's a growth story. So in San Antonio.
Well, there's a place you can go on the website. They can take a look and see if I'm, let's say I'm a person in Florida. I can go to the website you have and then look and see if you're in my market. So talk to us through that and then keep going.
Yeah. So if you go to the website, you'll see there's a bunch of different tabs or search parameters. You can search by location. So when you go to location, you'll see all the locations we're in, you know, San Antonio, Austin, Houston, Dallas, most of Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, most of California, Atlanta, Cleveland, Indy, all the regular suspects where you find good value in properties and a good rental. And at a price point that is very reasonable for people around the coast that are trying to buy that. So the issue becomes is if I'm someone sitting in Boston, you know, San Antonio to Austin doesn't, you know, I don't know the difference between those two. So one thing we provide on the site are some market reports. So you can come in and say, you know, here's why San Antonio is good. You know, there are these military bases. You know, there's this kind of growth in the industry. There's the Riverwalk, the tourist attractions. Here's why Austin's good. There's a medical corridor. There's UT Austin. There's Apple's new facility. So not only are we providing the quantitative data saying what have rents done, what have prices done in Austin, but we're also giving data around the macroeconomic thing they can find. So it's all in one place, right? Now, they can actually go in and on the platform research neighborhoods. So if I want to be in a particular neighborhood in Austin, I can look and see, hey, what are the renters making in that neighborhood? So if my rent is, say, $1,600, and most people can only afford a $1,200 rent, I know I'm an outlier. And at some point, I'm going to have a problem. If I see the median rent is way in line with what I'm paying, I can feel good that, okay, I'm not that corner case in that neighborhood. I can see where they work. I can see their commute distances. I can see the median income. So there's a lot of data there that I can get comfortable with that a realtor on the ground is not going to give it to me. They're going to go chase around and find properties. But this actually gives me the data. So I finally agree, saying, okay, that property in that neighborhood at that price range makes sense for me. So all we're trying to do is triangulate people to a buy box and then hand it over to the partner, which is the property manager, the realtor on the ground, and say, you know, here's an investor, this much money, this neighborhood, here's where they want to go.
I like it. So one of the things that we've been using and doing is the pocket listings. You know, you and I've had conversations about this where we identify somebody that's in our inventory that wants to sell. Our first look is going to be other investors to include anyone that we can locate through your system to do these pocket listings. Now, talk to me about some of the stuff they're looking at for the far as the reports, because in doing the pocket listing concept that we're talking about, we use a report from Bigger Pockets. And so it gives you the cap rates and the NOI and the cash and cash returns and stuff like that. Talk people through what your reports look like and maybe even relay it to that so they might have some experience, because essentially, I love these reports. I mean, they're fantastic. And I think yours do a great job of illustrating to somebody why they'd want to buy somebody. Why would they want to buy a particular property of number one, two, or three, or five, or 10? Because it's not just this one's in a good school district, like I talked in the very beginning of the episode. That's how it was done 5-10 years ago. You know, well, sell me a good investment property. Great. Well, go to this neighborhood. I like it because it's got really good schools and it's got cool curb appeal, you know, or it's your 3-2-2. But there's no rental history there to give you an actual cap rate. So, all right. So I've talked a lot and I love this episode go so far because you're doing a lot of the talking. Yeah. So I want you to talk through some of the stuff about the reporting and the Bigger Pockets and stuff like that. So keep going where you are.
Yeah, no. We feel, super passionate about this product and we feel like it adds a ton of value to investors. So if you look at something like Bigger Pockets, so any other site out there, they're somewhat rudimentary in the sense they're modeling the rent and they're modeling a price and they're trying to tell you here what the expenses should be. What the stock market has done is something a lot more scientific. So I always want to take that playbook and give you an analog, right? So when you go and buy, let's say IBM stock and someone says, hey, Brad, you know, why don't we stack up on some IBM? They're going to give you some data. That the data is, okay, what's IBM done in the last 5 years? What sort of dividends has it given? How has the price moved up and down through bad times? And why should you buy IBM in the future? Is IBM opening up? Is it coming up with a new AI product? Is it opening a new market in China? I mean, you're going to look at it and say, why should I buy this much IBM? I mean, I know IBM's a great name, just like saying, I know Austin's a great city, San Antonio's a great city, why should I buy? So what most sites miss, and they miss because it's a lot of money to do this. An investment platform, we spend over $20 million building it. So it's easy to come in and say, here's 123 Main Street, the price is $180,000, the rent should be $1,700, here's sort of your expenses and here's your cap rate. That's a very static discussion. Because if I tell you, hey, IBM's trading for $180, do you want to buy it? That's not enough information. I mean, what was it trading before? Is it at a low point or is it at a high point? Where is it expected to go and why? So we do the same thing. When you come in, you look at the rent and price trends in the city, in the zip code, and in that neighborhood. So you can look at the property and say, oh, this neighborhood actually went down in 2008 when all that happened and then started going back up. And then it's actually done worse than the overall city. And why is that? Well, maybe because it's a little bit of an outlier from where the jobs are. So you start thinking in different ways in that, which, you know, a static deal doesn't give you. The other thing we do is we model this over 15 to 30 years. So we actually are showing you a graph, if you go to our site, that says, how much equity are you building? You know, how much loan are you paying down? On a standard appreciation, what's your value at the end of 15 and 30 years if you invest this much today? The other thing we do is we provide a lot of toggle capabilities. So you go in there and you say, Investimate, I don't really trust your rent. I think you guys are a little bit high. I'm going to toggle the rent down. I don't think that price is going to be that much. It might be high. So you can actually go to the site and you can play around with all these parameters if you think you know something that we don't. And you can model the whole thing differently. So it's a full financial model that's user-definable in some ways. We give you a set of numbers and you can actually toggle those numbers. And the other thing we do is we give you all your expenses. A lot of people think, okay, I'm going to put 20% down. That's it. That's my expense. Well, no. You might have a refresh cost on that property, which you and I both know. There may be cost rehab, refresh, depending on what that property is. There's a certain amount we allocate for that. There is a stabilization period when you're doing that. It's not a rented property. So you've got to account for that. For 60 days, you might not have any rent. You're going to have to go find a tenant for it if it's a new property. So they have to model that into their first year. There's vacancy you've got to model every 2 years. So they can change those assumptions. And what we provide is a real detailed analysis, which is like a pro forma financial statement on the property. There's nothing like that anywhere. The issue right now is there's a lot of people out there throwing out very simple stuff. But you know, you've got to model a lot of different things like we do to give you that level of detail. And the last part of this is saying, these are the final assumptions. These are your final numbers. Your moment of truth is when you talk to Brad, he sends one of his guys down, and then he'll tell you how close or far are you from this. And so you've already modeled the range on everything. We provide you a range. And you've decided to invest in that range. So that's kind of how it works. So it's detailed. It's what-if scenario-oriented. It's got quite a bit in there.
Choose Seacoast Commerce Bank as your property management bank of choice. Seacoast Commerce Bank specializes in trust accounts and business banking for property managers. One of their best features is a cash analysis program where they can assist in paying your property management related invoices. Contact Allison at 619-988-6708 to learn more. And be sure to listen to the Property Management Mastermind Podcast, episode number 26, about Seacoast Commerce Bank.
Let's talk through some of the relationship and the referral opportunities that property management company owners would have to include real estate agents, real estate brokers, and some of their, talk us through those opportunities with Investimate and Home Union.
Let me address the other one that you talked about a little bit earlier, the pocket listings. I don't think we got into it, but as this platform grows, so today through the platform, we've done over $200 million of transactions on it when it was being used internally at Home Union. There's about 100,000 registered users on the platform. What happens is when an investor wants to sell a property, they typically will take the tenant out, sell it to a homeowner, and you guys lose, it's churn. You lose that business and it goes somewhere else. The advantage of proliferating a platform like Investimate is when you put it out as a rental property, an investor at the other end of that platform on that node gets to see it. And investors always like rental properties that are already rented much more than one they have to make ready. So it's ready-made versus make-ready, right? So the ready-made properties, you have data. There's a performance history. There's a rental history. You provide data on the tenant. So another investor coming in, it's a slam dunk to say, hey, you know, this was a property managed by RentWorks over the past 3 years. Here's what the rental history is. Here's what the delinquency has been. And here's what we expect it to be. It's that IBM stock, only a much better story now.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would call turnkey. And we've had that conversation before to where turnkey gets misused in my interpretation of it, to where you see all these things are floating on bigger pockets. Oh, it's a turnkey property. It's a turnkey investment. I work turnkey homes. Well, unless there's a tenant involved, it's really not turnkey. And so this is a platform to where you could throw that turnkey pocket listing out, build it into with all the metrics that are actually happening on the ground now, actual lease amounts, actual taxes that are being paid on it, actual expenses that have incurred for the last year or two because of the tenant ledgers you're looking at or the owner ledgers you're looking at. And that's where you can get real live numbers. And it's much more accurate and better to get that investor involved in that situation. So that's what I wanted to make sure everybody understood on the turnkey side is you get investors that go out and do some sort of like flip, right? They buy a crappy home, they put a bunch of money into it and they sell it vacant. as, quote, a turnkey property, a turnkey investment. Well, that's not turnkey if you got to go find the tenant. You have no data. No. You have no metrics. You're just wishful thinking that you think it's going to rent for X and you don't know yet. And so I don't like that term, what they call it. It's I like what we talk about as a turnkey pocket listing type of investment property. So you guys all work with those. And that's something I want you to hone in on.
So I want to add something to what you just said. And this is important. And in the early days when we were doing this, we actually fell prey to this. Because the thesis was that even if there's a tenant in there, it's a better investment. And sometimes what you find out, if the turnkey provider is not a long-term property manager, right? The property manager is a very unique purveyor because the reason is they have to be there for the long haul. They don't turn around, flip a property and walk away. They're with you every day. They take that beating all the time. It is a tough business and you have to be highly truthful and have a level of integrity because your karma is going to come bite you in the butt very soon. If you sell a property and you say something that's not right, you're the guy managing it. Very soon it comes back and the owner says, you told me this and it's not that. So they have every reason to have high integrity. Now, the problem with a flipper or a turnkey provider is all they're trying to do is make that deal happen. So even if they put a tenant in, what we found sometimes is the tenant maybe came in at a higher than market price and is not sustainable. So you sold the property, now you have a problem. The tenant was not properly qualified. And since you don't have past history, you don't know what that tenant is going to do. Sometimes the property itself has not been properly renovated and is being put out there and you sell it as turnkey and all of a sudden 6 months from now, you get a bunch of repairs that you didn't anticipate. Now, I'm not saying every turnkey operator does that. But the whole turnkey process sometimes doesn't have the transparency that you have when you're buying turnkey from a property manager. Why? Because I can ask for the full history when you put a turnkey property up. I say, how many years has it been there? How long has the tenant been there? What's the history of repairs? You have it all. There's nothing better than that. So I separate properties coming from a property manager versus properties coming from a flipper or a turnkey operator. Because there's a lot of one and dones there.
Makes a lot of sense because I used to actually tell people that when we were selling rental properties to them is that, look, I'm not going to sell you a dog because I got to manage the darn thing. So this thing's going to perform. If I say it's going to get $1,200, $1,500, I'm confident it's going to get that because I got to turn around and manage it. So it's a different mindset of, you know, those flippers are they're done and they're gone versus I'm left holding the bag, let's say, and I'm going to give you something that's going to work for you.
No, exactly right. So the idea, you know, sort of the perfect world for us over time is that, you know, we've had a lot of success with the platform and we released this towards the end of last year. And I think we've already got north of 20 property managers on it and we're seeing tremendous engagement in the platform. So our idea is that once we have many, 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 many nodes across the country of people using the investment platform, you could upload a property that's a pocket listing of yours. That's a rental property that you want to sell that's tenanted and someone in some other part of the country comes in and gets that. So there's an opportunity for that referral back and forth. You sell the listing, there's a buy side agent on the other side who sells it to an investor. They make money, you make money. So it connects the network and you start getting it the other way. So one of your investors buys something in another market, you get that referral as the buy side and somebody else is able to sell it. So the open platform allows this over time where it only benefits property managers. Now, you asked a question earlier about realtors. The realtors are a real important last mile cog in this wheel. Now, you're a little bit unusual in the sense that you guys have a division called SalesWorks as well where you have qualified people who sell investments. This model really doesn't work if there's not a strong realtor who takes that buy box and executes on it, right? Because what you put in the buy box is what may not be what they buy. So think of it this way. They may not buy IBM. They might buy Apple. They might buy something else. But you know what they're looking for. But you got to go get that last mile trade done for them. And that's the part that I think property managers need if they don't have it in-house like you do. They have to have some realtor relationships. We can train. We have a certification training program, as you know. We can train these realtors to say, look, we will be tossing you a baton that has investors in a certain buy box. But then you've got to take them over the finish line to get them the exact property that they want, because the one they select initially may not be the right one, but now you know what they want. And that takes a certain skill. And there are a lot of realtors that are only focused on home buying. So they don't get these financial parameters of rent and cap rates and what they're looking for and when a property goes out of bounds because the expenses become too much or the rent is not right. And they have to be trained. And the system itself is a training mechanism. If they get up to speed on investment, they can do those things. So one, this is an opportunity for property managers also to create local realtor relationships, saying, I have this platform, I have a set of customers, I'm going to be generating transaction opportunities that I'll bring your way. And you can actually make money from it, but at the same time, quid pro quo, when you get a deal, give me the other side of it.
Yeah, the referral opportunity there between your own market is very high, because we do get a lot of requests from agents that they come to us and say that their client is selling a property and they got to do a 1031. And so they're looking for other properties to dive into immediately. And so it would be good to be known as that. In addition to, they learn to know that we are the property management gurus of the area, because we sell investment properties and we manage investment properties. So you can build your referral base for one, getting in potential investor buyers, and two, getting in owners that want to be under your management as investors. So I see a win-win on both sides of that one. That's you know, something I didn't realize before, put two and two together. You know, we always talk about referral opportunities with realtors and what we do to go get them. You know, you have referral fees, you have client return guarantees, et cetera. You'd market it, you Facebook it, you just put it out there, you do in-person presentations to get that realtor community to know who you are. And this is one more giant arrow in that quiver to build that rapport. Great stuff. Keep going.
So, you know, I want to, you know, that sort of makes me want to springboard off another point. Now, property management companies have to decide, in my mind, I mean, it's a great business, as to where they want to be in the food chain, right? So one place to be in the food chain is to say, let the investor buy the property. I put my hand up after that saying, I'm the best guy in Austin. I'm the best guy in San Antonio. I'm the best guy in Dallas. And then duke it out with five other people who are saying, I'm the best person. And then find, you know, and then the chips will fall as they may. There are some franchisees that we're working with, franchisors, that buy into this notion of, I want my franchisees to have an investment platform that can engage investors. There are others that have told us, some very large ones, that no, we don't want our property managers to get in the middle of a sales transaction, because that's for the realtor and we don't want to compete with the realtor. We want to be at the bottom of the food chain. I mean, that's not how they put it, but we want to be in the food chain where the deal's done, and I want to compete as being the best property management company. I don't want our property managers getting into the investment sales business.
Yeah, that was the fuzzy part. That's why I had to ask you twice, because that initially it doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why I had to clarify it. But, you know, if that's how they want to be treated, that's their business decision. That's fine. I don't think that's right for most of the people out there. I think they want to be involved in all of the transactions. As everybody that we've talked to, everyone I've always talked to said, we think property management is the center of everything. You have the buying side on the left. You have the selling side on the right. It all encompasses around property management as the center of that universe. And you want to be involved on all that. There's no reason why you don't want to, because if you just want to be the expert at one, how can you be the expert at everything? You are a real estate professional. You need to know everything around property management, because it's all encompassing. For us to say, I only want to work with listings. You know, if you're a real estate agent, I only want to work with buyers. Well, you're missing all of the experience on both sides. And so that's kind of a small analogy of, I don't know if that's the right method to go about it, but I really think that we and most PMs out there going to want to be involved on all sides as much as the transaction as they possibly can. Keep going.
Yeah. So that's, you know, it was very surprising for us, but you know, you learn, and the notion there was that selling and buying is for realtors, managing is for property managers. And it's a division of church and state. And we don't want those to mingle, because we, you know, we won't get referrals anymore. But I think the point we're trying to make here is, how do you climb up that food chain? You climb up the food chain by having a tool so that you can engage the investor. So that you become a destination for that investor to say, not only will you manage my properties, you are a source of providing me opportunities in your market. And the property manager, in my mind, is the perfect platform for doing it. Because the platform provides the technology, provides the search criteria, provides all of that. And the property manager makes that real on the ground. And why are they more trustworthy than any realtor? because just like you said, they have to live with that investment over the longer haul. If they get you into a rent that's not the right rent, they have to face that karma very soon down the road. So we always felt that our best partners are property managers because they are the ones that are going to set the truth in this right off the bat. So at the same time, you have existing investors, and I want to talk a little bit about that, is how we're doing this platform. The one thing we found doing these $200 million of transactions on our platform is investors in rental properties don't have a hole burning in their pockets, right? They're not like, hey, I got up today, maybe I should buy two or three rental properties. How good is that? I think we missed the point because the whole 80% of the industry, so let me give you some stats. 20% of annual transactions are investor transactions. So about 1 million transactions a year are investor transactions. There are 18 million single family homes held for investment. There are accidental investors there. And single family homes is 1 to 4 units. There's about 10 million investors in the US. That's a pretty large number. Of those 10, by the way, 50 to 60% manage their own property. You guys end up getting only 40% of that number. So that's still a pretty large number. You still have 4 to 5 million investors that are using the 118,000 property managers to manage, and the rest of them are still doing it on their own. By the way, there are business opportunities for you guys. Now, if you look at this entire universe of people that are actually investing and buying rental properties, they don't have a good way to engage today. You know, they don't have a good way to buy those properties today. And they wake up, and when they don't find something, it's not like, oh, I can't find a rental property. I got to do something. Let me see what I can do. So where we get confused is when somebody wants to buy a home, there's a trigger event. The whole industry is, the realtors are all over that. You know, if Brad wants to buy a new home, we know Brad's going to be in the market for a very short period of time before he locks down on a realtor and he was going to buy the home. So if I don't get Brad at that point of contact or that point of interest, I lose Brad. So every realtor lead generation system is actually designed around immediacy. Respond right away, grab Brad before he goes anywhere else. That's why Zillow gives a lead to 3 people and all of that. The difference is when Brad wants to buy an investment property, Brad's going to take his time. Brad's not going to wake up and say, let me plop 100 grand and buy something today. So one of the things on this platform that we learned is you need to engage with the investor over the longer haul through a set of campaigns. What do I mean? If you're on Amazon or you're on Netflix, what do they send you? I said, hey, Brad, you know, you bought those running shoes, you might like these other things. You bought this, you might like this other thing. Hey, you just watched this, sci-fi movie. How about this new one that came? Hey, this is the show you might like. So you might ignore, you know, 5, 10, 15 of these mails. All of a sudden you look at it and say, oh, you know, that's sort of a product I might think about. You know, let me go research that and get it. Investment property sales is the same thing. You have to give investors a diet of investment opportunities based on their preferences. And they may do nothing for 6 months. And all of a sudden they'll put their hand up and say, you know what? I'm interested in that last property that you sent me. And then they engage. So part of the platform can't also be a one and done. You know, they get on the platform, they navigate the platform, they show some preferences of budget locations. And that allows us then to sort of personalize and continue to feed them a diet. So for example, if you look at stats of, RentWorks right now, right? We've been working with you guys just a little over a month. 100 of your investors have already registered on the platform, right? About half, 50 of your investors we are in conversations with that we think are qualified opportunities. What does it mean? It means they have a budget, they have a timeline, and they want to do something. Will they do something? Some percentage of them will do it soon. Some will do it later. But the thing is now we've woken up 50 of your investors in a conversation that somewhere they're going to do something. And some of them may, some of them may not. Some of them may do 6 months from now. Some others may wake up. But regardless of all this, the RentWorks brand is being put in front of them. So they are engaged, right?
Yeah, this is part of the education that you talked about, is the education to investors and to home buyers in general is what's out there. What are things looking at right now in your market? So for $150,000, you can get a 322 that's going to bring $1,400 in rent. And they see 25 of those in a month or 6 months, whatever the time frame is. They start to understand that's what the market is versus I want to get that, you know, $150,000 home that's going to rent for $2,000 a month, right?
Yeah.
That's what, you know, some of these people walk into certain markets and they have these weird expectations, but then you start putting homes in front of them and they get educated as what's possible. You know, same thing happens when you get a super hot market and you get buyers that say, I really like this home. I'm going to think about it for a couple of days and then maybe I'll make an offer. And then they call you back in 2 days and say, I want to buy that home. And you say, sorry, it sold in 10 minutes. Like I told you it would. And you didn't listen to me. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll keep looking. And the same thing happens to the next one. And the he and haw to the point to where if they want to buy something, they will sign anything you put in front of them to get into that property on a hot market. That's what education does. And of course, the same holds true with the other side of that. So if you get a cold market, people know that they can he and haw and they can negotiate lower because this thing's been sitting on the market for 6 months. Everything's sitting on the market for 6 months. And the asking price of $200,000, I know I can get you down to $180,000 because that's what everything else is going for around you. And you're sitting on the market for 6 months. It's education that gets them to that point. Okay, let's circle back. People are very intrigued at this point to learn more. How do they find out more about you and what you do and where you are? Where do you send them?
So the website is investimateroi.com. So that's where they can go to find out a little bit about the product and then schedule a demo so that they can, you know, understand what it all does. And or they can go to any one of the property managers who already have it and go to their site, because the way the product works, a couple of things we should say here. And I just want to make one last point of what you just said on the properties. And by the way, this is exactly what happens, what you just described. Somebody wants to lowball an offer. And we've had one situation recently with an existing investor from another large property manager. And I was talking to one of my inside support guys. And he says, look, every time he's made a lowball, I've been able to sell that property to another investor. I put it three properties in front of him. Three other investors have bought it. And I finally told him, look, you're not going to get a deal in this market at that price. So either you decide you want to do it or you don't. And some people think that they can, but they don't. One last point I want to make about the platform is we are actually real-time connected to the listing services in all the markets we're in. So we poll that market every 30 minutes. So it's near real-time, the properties that come in. We also have an ingestion engine that we apply over 50 to 60 filters so that when properties come in, we don't take everything that comes in. We apply filters, we read. We have a natural language processing engine, so we read the agent remarks and we figure out what we want, what we don't want. We have geocodes, so we exclude stuff close to freeways, next to railway lines, across from cemeteries. Those are tougher to rent. And then we append the rich data. So it's a combination of stuff that goes on. And then, you know, the beauty of it after that is then we can include pocket listings, rental properties, new construction. There's a lot of stuff that investors can come in. And it only benefits the investor and the property manager and the realtor in the transaction. So all of that near real time out there. Now, back to your question. So people can come to investimateroi.com. They can email me at don@investimateroi.com. And I'm happy to take any questions. And we have people that will do the demo with them. So both of those places. And then once we talk to them, we can point them to, you know, 15 to 20 live sites that are using it that they can see. We're also at the Broker Owner Conference at NARPM from the 25th through the 27th. You know, we have a booth there. We're already setting up appointments with people. There's a lot of interest where we can demonstrate the solution to people that come there and they get a good idea of what we do. So all of the above. I mean, it's out, platforms out there, easy to see, easy to exercise.
Love it. Can't wait to see you at the Broker Owner Conference. So I think that's going to be kind of a main attraction. This has been one of those things that's been up and coming. It's needed in the industry. I love to see the fact that you're with NARPM. You're a paying vendor. And I think this is going to go very far with this platform. Happy to be a part of it. And I really appreciate the opportunity to have you on today. So Don, it's been a great episode. Thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you out there at the Broker Owner Conference. Any parting comments?
No, you know, thank you for having me on it. And, you know, sometimes you have a product where you feel passionately about it. And this is one that we feel like we can add a lot of value to somebody's business. So I think this is more than just a platform out there. And we like you. The product is a long-term relationship because we are campaigning. We're staying with it. It's not like we give you the product and walk away. So very similar to your business model. We are there for the long haul to see how it does. So
totally agree.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Don. Take care.
Property Meld is made for maintenance work automation. Property Meld will work to schedule, remind, verify completion, and follow up with your residents automatically while providing the best-in-class communication system for your ease of use, your vendors, and your tenants. Begin reducing maintenance coordination time and increasing tenant satisfaction today. Learn more at PropertyMeld.com. Tenants not changing their air filters? Costly HVAC repairs and unhappy owners got you down? Filter Easy is a subscription air filter delivery service that solves this problem by shipping filters directly to the tenant's front door when it's time to change. Tenants actually change them, which reduces HVAC-related maintenance calls by an average of 30%. Filter Easy's no-cost-you solution functions as a profit center to give you back time and money. Call 1-800-308-1186 today to learn more.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.